The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 122, Thursday, 13th of September, 2007. Networks. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week I decided to change the format slightly just for the show, and due to the large amount of mail that I had in and the CD news that was out and some other news, I thought I'd dedicate the show to email and news this week. So the show will back to its normal format with an interview next week, but this week I'm just going to concentrate on the news and the email. And the Cedia Expo 2007 is a trade show that's described by Cedia as the number one show for residential electronic system contractor industry that includes custom home theatre, multi-room audio and video, lighting control, environment control, home networking, home automation, residential information, technology systems, security and more. In other words, your custom AV installers are part of the Cedia, and the Cedia looks at the high-end stuff, so not generally the enthusiasts like you and I, but certainly for the home installers. It's those kind of people. So it's a pretty significant show for Media Centre in that sort of home theatre and professional installers market. So we'll look at some of the news coming from there, and companies like Nivius and Lifeware displayed their some of their information, and Microsoft actually put out quite a bit of information, and I think tried to get Media Centre sort of back in the spotlight, as it's been pretty quiet on that front with the AV installers. So quite a bit to talk about from that, and like I said, we've got loads of email in particular the last couple of weeks, so I thought I'd read out some of those emails. I do like getting your emails in, and please keep them coming in at thedigitallifestyle.com. It's always great getting your email and getting your comments on the blog as well, so please keep them coming. So I'm going to start with email, and this comes from Adam. Hi Ian, I'm from Sydney, Australia, and I've been into Media Centre since last December. I appreciate all the work and enthusiasm you put into your podcasts. I have put together a simple Vista Media Centre system with the following specs: Asus motherboard, Core 2 Duo, 8300 graphics cards and dual tuner, Harpage, PVR 500 analog cards. I have successfully connected it up to Foxtel digital cable through one of the analog tuners. Media Centre changed the channel and also works as a program guide. What I want to do is, one, control another cable box from a different provider. Forums say this is not possible. And two, add a digital tuner. I have read that this is possible and not found any info on how to set this up. That is to tune and set up the program guide alongside the Foxtel listing. Thanks for your help in advance, Adam. Thanks for email, Adam. It's a nice setup that you've got there. Regarding your two questions, first, you can't control another cable provider box from a different via Media Centre, so you can, with two separate guides on there, you can control two set-top box with the same provider and the same guide data, but not when you're looking at two different providers, unless any listeners know a way around that. I'm pretty sure that that's not the case, and you're really restricted to getting your data from one guide provider. Your second question was added a digital tuner. You can add a digital tuner, but not really alongside your analog tuner, and have again a different guide data. So it's possible that you could replace your analog devices with a digital tuner and receive over-the-air digital TV, DVB-T, and replace your existing system, but not alongside it like how I think you would like to do it. But I definitely want to point you in the direction of a great source for Media Centre information in Australia, which is xpmediacentre.com.au. They've got a great community there and forums. So if you want any Australian related information on Media Centre, definitely check out their website, and it is a great resource. So please let us know how you get on with that. Now an email from Patrick Walters. It says, hey Ian, have you heard anything from these guys, webiso.com? I've not tried their software, just curious if you have. Thanks for the show. Thanks for the email, Patrick. I did have a look at the link that Patrick sent, which I'll include in the show notes, which is webisode.com/beta. And it looks like a Media Center application, and it's actually Media Center and Sage TV application that uses RSS and BitTorrent to download online video content. It's almost like a video aggregator. And there's not a lot of details on the website, and I know Patrick signed up for the beta and can let us know how it gets on. But if any other listeners have seen this add-in for Media Center, I'd be interested to hear about it. I haven't seen a lot of press about it, so let me know if how you get on with that. And it's great to see more video content coming to Media Center, and so something we'll touch on later in the show with the CD news. And be interested to see how anybody gets on with that. So please let me know if you've managed to get on the beta. Now an email from Mark. Hi Ian, I just wanted to drop you a line regarding your podcast. I picked up your show last week and I've been working my way through. You're doing an awesome job. I've been running Media Center 2005 for about 2 years now. Some of the plugins, MyMovie especially, I've heard on the show and have been great. I had no idea they existed. Your show is packed with good info. Please keep up the good work. From Mark. Thanks for the email, Mark. It is nice to know that new listeners are coming on, picking up on the show, and then hearing about the third-party applications that are available for Media Center. As I mentioned previously on the show, third-party applications are the thing that really differentiates Media Center from other PVR solutions, like, say, a Sky Plus box in the UK, which is a nice PVR, but you've not got the third-party applications like you can get with Media Center. And things, you know, guests on previous shows are talking about the TV add-ins and editors and all those kind of things are just something that I think really adds value to the Media Center platform, and the Media Center development community is fantastic. So I'm really glad that Mark has been able to pick up some of these third-party applications through the show. And I also reach out to any third-party developers that I've not been in contact with. And if you've got a Media Center application that you want to highlight on the show, please let me know. Ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I really do like talking about Media Center applications on the show, and I'll be glad to include yours. I wanted to mention a thread on thedigitallifestyle.com forums about email I read out on last week's show regarding slow performance for Vista. I've actually got a couple of messages on that. And the first one from Peabody in the forums said that there's a known issue with Nero messing up with some registry keys. And there are details on Microsoft's news group about how to fix that and what causes the problem. And this is the situation where Media Center with sort of 4,000, 5,000 tracks in it is almost intolerably slow when running Vista, whereas previously on XP the machine was fine. And so thanks to Peabody for pointing that out. But I also got an email on that from Robert Jones. And I must say, it's great getting feedback from listeners for the listeners. And I must say, it's great getting help for listeners from other listeners. It's really what I like about the Media Center community. And Robert said, "Hi Ian, great show, never miss it. Last week, a listener wrote in with a problem that he's experiencing with Vista Media Center music section, specifically when taking a long time to display music or freezing relative to the same set of albums on his XP Media Center. I had a problem last week where my 4,000 or so albums disappeared from Vista Media Center and Media Player libraries. However, I couldn't add anything through Media Player interface. Ultimately, I find that the Media Player database has somehow become corrupted, and after deleting the database files, I was able to re-add my music through Media Player, after which everything showed up properly in Media Center. I wouldn't have thought it was related, except after this exercise, I noticed my Media Player database was about half the size as it was previously. Moreover, within Media Center, things were running much more smoothly and a little bit faster with respect to music. It certainly couldn't hurt for the listener to rebuild the Media Player database, and here's how. 1. Close Media Center and Media Player and double check wmplayer.exe in the task manager is not running. Open up the /users username appdata local Microsoft Media Player directory. Move everything in this directory to a temporary directory elsewhere on your hard drive in case you ever need it again. Open Media Player and go to Tools Library Options and click Monitor Folders, click Advanced Options and add and remove the folders you want or don't want to monitor. I like this bit next. Go down the pub and grab a pint because it's probably take a while to add everything. And 7. Once the Add to Library Search and Computer dialog shows Search Complete, click OK, close Media Player and open up Media Center and see what's what. Thanks for good work. All the best, Bob. Now, thanks for that email. I do like the advice for going down to the pub. I recommend that's always done whenever you're rebuilding anything within any areas of your PC. It's always worth taking a break and doing that. Interesting instructions there. Of course, you should always be careful when moving files and deleting files for things that aren't necessarily meant to be done. But I can see the point here. Basically, what Bob's been saying is you make sure everything's closed, you delete your media player library, you rescan it, and then you should see a performance increase. Certainly, Bob did, and that may well help any performance issues. So it's worth trying, and I'd definitely have a look at doing that. Thanks for the email. And I also got a comment regarding last week from Irish Sniper in the forums. He said, "Great show, I really enjoyed this one. Loads of great links and information. Thanks a lot, Ian and Mark." And that's referring to the show I did last week with Mark McCall from AutomatedHome.com, which is a great resource for home automation, and we're going to have home automation featured a few times in upcoming shows. So I appreciate the comment, and it was great to talk to Mark, and check out his website. Now back to the email, and it was CD last week, and there was lots of news out. And again, as always happens, it's just after I'd recorded the show, so none of it could get featured on the show. But Johan in Belgium was one of the many that sent me emails about the version 2 extenders that had been some information had been released. So what I thought I'd do is have a look at the information from Cedia, and this is just a sort of highlights of that information. And the first thing that everybody took notice of was the announcements of the version 2 extenders. We all know they've been coming, but it was the first time we'd seen any official details from Microsoft. And like I said, a lot of emails into the show about that, and there's a lot of comments on that. And even noticed that the extenders made the front page of Dig, so it shows there's a lot of interest in that. In fact, more details are going to be released at the Digital Life event in New York on September 27th, so we should see some more info on that. But the information that was released was around three partners that are releasing extenders, which are D-Link, Linksys, and Nivius Media. Some of the information I could get out of that was that all the extenders are going to support wireless N, and DivX could be an option, and that's down to the manufacturers, but I think they will have it. And I think, as mentioned previously on the show, when we talked about DivX on the hardware extenders, the V2 extenders, it would be a good way of differentiating these devices from Xbox 360. So it would be good to see that built in there as well. And also supporting wireless N is good, because you need that fast bandwidth if you're doing a lot of data, video data, because you need that fast bandwidth if you're doing a lot of video. Also mentioned in the press leaks, which again we've hoped for but have not seen any definite information on, was the fact that the units could not only be standalone units but also could be embedded into TV and other devices. So I think we're going to see probably at least three classes of version 2 extenders, and I have no official information on this, but this is just my thoughts on it. We're definitely going to see the hardware devices like as mentioned before, the D-Link and Linksys and Nivius are going to have their own extenders, hardware devices. But I also think we will probably see extended technology embedded into TVs. Now, whose TVs are these are going to be interesting to see, but certainly think it will be a great advantage for Media Center and for the whole ecosystem if you get a TV and it's got a built-in extender. Whether we'll see that from someone like Sony, I very much doubt, but hopefully we'll see those soon. And the other devices I think we should see is the sort of combination devices, maybe something like a DVD player with a built-in extender, or even better, something like a HD DVD player with a built-in extender. And I think that would be a pretty compelling device, certainly as people are looking at upgrading an HD DVD and Blu-ray, and if you've got the extender functionality built into it, then it's definitely going to be a nice device and something you're going to want to look at. And of course, the other advantage with the version 2 extenders over, say, something like the Xbox 360 is that these are silent devices. And so, you know, a lot of people, that's a big priority when they're fitting in with their AV racks. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the version 2 extenders and hopefully we'll get some more information out in the next few weeks from Digital Life. And Gadget did have some pictures of the Niveus extenders, but I did put on the blog actually that question whether the user interface in the pictures was the extender software, because to me it looked like a third-party software, and I think it turned out to be that it was the actually Niveus companion software that was being shown, not pictures of the extender, because I'm expecting the extender to look just like Media Center. Now whether we'll see the same richness as the Xbox 360, I really don't know, but I'm expecting the devices to look like that. So I think Engadget's actually changed the post slightly, so have a look at links for that anyway. It's great to see that there's a lot of interest in that, and all the sort of the Windows enthusiast sites were covering the version 2 extenders as well as the AV guys and Engadget. So a lot of good press from Microsoft from the announcements of the V2 extenders, and I think availability looks like I think it's described as holidays 2007, so it's going to be towards the end of this year and available for Christmas. Other information that came out from Cydia was about cable cards and some of the OEMs looking at launching 4 tuner cable card solution. I think that was exceptional innovation, and Niveus were looking at these 4 cable card devices, so you can record simultaneously 4 cable channels in full HD in encrypted ones, which I think is a nice solution. I think Chris Lanier put on his blog about the fact that these were only available to a select group of the OEMs, so rather than all OEMs who are using the dual methods. So I'll be interested to see what the situation with that is, but certainly it's a step in the right direction if the 4 cable card tuner device, if that's what you need and you want the power to be able to record 4 HD things simultaneously, then it's an option. I guess you'll need a fairly decent Media Center machine to be able to cope with that, but exceptional innovation, and Niveus both make great machines with enough power to be able to do that anyway. It's not going to be cheap though, but if that's what you want, then it's an option. In fact, CE Pro has details for that and a link for that in the show notes. In fact, CE Pro had some great coverage of Cydia, and I saw one thing about a Sideshow remote using Z-Wave, which, as you remember last week, we talked about Z-Wave being the home automation technology. And to see a Sideshow remote using that is going to be pretty nice. So I'll be looking forward to see something from that. Other announcements included Cestron Electronics Inc. and officially announced that it's going to be a Media Center Direct OEM, and they're going to deliver Media Center hardware in 2008. I expect that'll be from including cable card stuff as well. So that's good to get another OEM into the Media Center frame. Russound also announced it's going to be delivering its smart media console line in 2007, and these Media Center based products provides custom installers with solutions for enable advanced home automation, integrates with Russound's whole home audio solutions. So it's going to be easier for integrators to sort of kind of build that connected environment. And in fact, they're going to be on the show in the future, so we'll find out more information on that one. So check out that link again from that in the show notes. And a lot of this comes from CE Pro's great coverage of Cydia. Microsoft announced Windows Media Center Ultimate Install Contest. This was an announcement that the first annual Windows Media Center Ultimate Installer Contest, a Media Center specific design contest that allows installers to showcase their most extraordinary Windows Media Center based residential projects. What that I think means is that Microsoft are looking to get the AV installers to show off their sort of great installations of Media Center. So we should see some pretty interesting stuff there, you know, with the way that Media Center can be integrated into the home. And that's at Microsoft.com/CEInstaller for more details. And it's nice to see Microsoft getting the AV installers to put this stuff in, because that's another way of showing Media Center off, and maybe some of the features and requests that the custom installers are asking will work their way to the enthusiasts, and also, you know, the things that we're asking for will benefit the custom installers as well. So it's good to see that they're doing that, and I guess you guys have some pretty good installations as well, so you should have a look at that. Engadget got some details of a new Internet TV plugin that Microsoft will launch later this month. And again, it looks US only, which is a real shame, as we really do need some love for Media Center in the non-US regions in this kind of add-ons for Media Center, things like Sports Lounge, which we don't get over in the UK. But this looks like an internet TV plugin that's going to provide content, obviously over the internet, through the 10-foot interface. And there's going to be sports categories, entertainment, news, music, whatever. And I think it'll be provided for by US content providers, hence it being US only. But it's great to see some of this content coming through to Media Center. Of course, obviously, it's a brilliant platform to run internet content directly onto the TV. And again, it's something that moves Media Center away from the direct PVR, and it's become more of a home entertainment device, and bringing content down for the internet is great. I guess you could do some of the things with like TV Tonic and some other services, but having this built into Media Center is great, and I really do hope that we can get some content deals around the world so that it's not just the US market that gets this kind of thing. Again, more details on that are going to be released at the Digital Life event in September 27th. And finally, from CD News, Doug Barrett has joined Microsoft, and listeners to the show will recognise Doug as being the developer of WebGuide, which, as mentioned previously, is one of my favourite applications for Media Center. It's one of the, in case you don't know what it is, you can use it to remotely schedule recordings either through a LAN or through the internet. So from another location, you can log in and schedule a recording. I use my mobile to schedule recordings occasionally, and you can set up streaming and those kind of things. And Doug has been a guest on the show a few times, and I think it's great for Microsoft to be able to get all the talent like Doug's, and it's great news for Doug as well. What the future holds for WebGuide, I don't know. At the moment, it's going to be free, which is great news, but I don't think there's any planned development for it at the moment. But I hope that Microsoft can take a look at the popularity of WebGuide and see how many people do like it and make great use of it, and that we'll see those kind of features coming from Microsoft, either directly in Media Center or through an add-in like WebGuide supported from Microsoft. But Doug's a great talent, and I hope they make good use of him. Some other news this week as well. Another show guest and another one of my favourite applications, M-Control, the home automation package. And this week, Embedded Automation have released version 2 of M-Control, which, like I said, is a home automation software for Media Center. And this is one of the first commercial native Vista Media Center applications around. It uses Media Center markup language, which means you get the real rich, high fidelity interface of Vista Media Center. Some of the other features in version 2 are new and enhanced drivers for controlling security systems, climate controls, cameras, lighting systems, and other control devices. A driver development kit for developers to write their own drivers. Enhanced macro functionality. New diagnostics, documentation, and improved performance. And you may remember back at CES January this year, we had a look at M-Control and the security element on the video show. And it's been through a fairly extensive beta program, and all the beta testers have been looking at it and getting the bugs out of there. And now version 2 has been released. And the good news is it's a free update for M-Control V1 users, which is great news. And more details for that in link in the show notes, and hopefully I'll get a video review out in the coming months looking at home automation and M-Control, and I'll definitely get Ted Singh from Embedded Automation back on the show. And Ted was actually the first guest on the first Media Center show back number one, so it's great to see that M-Control has progressed and up to version 2. Some other items from around the web. There's a link to a video in the show notes from Casey Chestnut, and this is a proof of concept application that Casey's been working on, and it uses a UMPC, Ultramobile PC, as a companion device to Media Center. And this is something that I've been hunting for since I got my UMPC. Basically, you can use a UMPC to control your Media Center PC. You can serve TV channels, you can use it as a picture frame, scrolling pictures around, you can browse guide data, set up playlist for music, all from the UMPC controlling your main Media Center. And it's something definitely that I've been looking for, that you could sit with the UMPC on your lap, maybe look at the guide, see what's on latest, get set up recordings, change channel on Media Center, all from the UMPC. And the application's a proof of concept application, so it's not really ready for end users yet, but the concept is great, and I think it really adds some value to the UMPCs. One of the interesting features I liked was the channel surfing application, which the UMPC talks to the Media Center PC and brings back a thumbnail of each channel that's currently going through Media Center. So if you've got, say, 10, 20 channels, it takes a thumbnail of those channels so you can see what's on now visually as well as through the guide. And something I don't think you can do directly from Media Center. And it all adds to the visualness of Media Center, which we're used to sort of the thumbnails now of recorded TV programs and everything else. So I think that's a great function. And being able to do that from the UMPC is great. And like I said, it does things like now playing and virtual remote control and guide browsing and everything else. Best of all, Casey's given away the source code for that, which is a C# application and a WPF application. And really, I think you should support Casey and have a look at the application and see, you know, is this the kind of application you'd like for a UMPC? And I think it certainly would be something that would be fascinating if it was to ship with the UMPCs. And I think OEMs should take note and give Casey a call. Another video worth watching, hopefully, anyway, is the last digitallifestyle.com video show that I put out, and show number 7, where I was looking at VideoBox's wireless remote keyboard. And VideoBox, featured on the show in the past, are known for their premium Media Center PCs and their Blu-ray PCs. But in this video, I take a look at their latest wireless keyboard. It's a lightweight remote keyboard, complete with a trackball, which I'm told is 800 dpi, which is very accurate. It's really nice to use. It never misses a beat. It uses a wireless technology that's not infrared, so it doesn't need the direct line of sight like my Microsoft Media Center remote keyboard does, and that has a totally useless mouse pointer as well. It comes with its own USB receiver, and you don't get any sort of dead spots or anything like that. And it's a really nice keyboard. Anyway, have a look at the video, and you'll see how it compares to the Microsoft keyboard and some of the other keyboards I had around. It retails at $69.99 from VideoBox's online store, and the good news is you can get 10% off that for being a show listener. VideoBox are offering that 10% off. You just head over to their store, use the discount code Digital Lifestyle, and you'll get 10% off automatically. Overseas customers need to email VideoBox for a shipping quote, but also mention the Digital Lifestyle, and you'll get the 10% discount as well. Also, after I put the video out, VideoBox answered some questions that I raised, and one of the things was about the instructions, the kind of detailed instructions for synchronizing the USB device with the keyboard. As VideoBox point out, they're actually pre-synchronized, and this is just in case that synchronization ever gets lost, but I certainly found I never needed to do that. The thing just worked straight away. In the video, I did mention that it didn't seem to need direct line of sight, and it's actually confirmed that you don't need direct line of sight. It's just mentioning the instructions in case there are any metal surfaces in the way that can cause problems. In fact, VideoBox mentioned that they've got customers using multiple rooms with cloned video outputs and video on their VideoBox system, and that has no trouble at all. And the other thing that I mentioned, that there was no green button on the keyboard. But of course, if you press the Windows key, Alt, and Enter at the same time, you get Media Center, and that works for any keyboard, actually. So thanks for VideoBox for sending the keyboard over, and for the 10% discount. It is a nice keyboard. Have a look at the video and make your own mind up. One question I had on the videos that I wanted to get some feedback on was, first of all, do you like them? Are they a waste of time? Are they worth having? I like to do them as sort of an add-in to the show, so rather than making the show video only, if I've got something I want to show you off, like a PC or a UMPC or a keyboard, then I think that's great. But also, what kind of format do you like to see them in? I've been putting them on a WMV that's usually quite high quality. I've put them on YouTube and I've put them on Soapbox and embedded them into the blog post as well. But I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts on that. And I know last time I asked a vote on that back in, I think it was about January time, most people prefer the WMVs, which I was quite surprised with. But has that changed? How do you like it? Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com to express your opinion. I also wanted to mention this week an interesting problem I had with my Media Center PC over the weekend. And looking at the forums and comments on my blog, I was not the only one with the problem. It started on Friday when I got home from work and I found my Media Center PC was trying to record the same program five or six times. You know the little red record icon in the taskbar? The same program was listed there multiple times. And the program was kind of recording for 2 or 3 minutes, then stopping, and it was starting up again to record, so the file was split. And when I checked the log files, there was loads of errors in there. It was reporting multiple conflicts, and in fact, it should have been recording two things at once, and it was only recording this one program intermittently. And he said because of a conflict, he couldn't record the other program. And it was also complaining about the Belgium Grand Prix hadn't been recorded because it had been preempted by the broadcaster, which is really strange because that doesn't actually broadcast till like a week or so, and it's at the weekend. So I thought that was really strange. I had a look, and it was the error was occurring every minute for about the past 5 hours. Obviously, there's some corruption problems there. So first thing, of course, is try to reboot. That didn't work. I tried restarting services, and that didn't seem to fix it either. The other thing I noticed as well, when I went into Media Center, after a couple of seconds, it warned me of a critical error. So obviously, I knew something was pretty bad. So I searched around on the internet and, as ever, came across a great thread on the green button where HT Slider had the exact problem I had and seemed to have cured it. And these were his instructions. Basically, he shut down all his Media Center services. So he went into right-clicked on computer, select Manage, select Services, and shut down the Windows Media Center Scheduler and the Media Center Receiver service. He navigated to the C programs directory, Microsoft eHome Recording. And in there, he deleted the recordings.xml and recordings.xml.bag and then restarted the services. And you can restart the services using the Windows Media Center Service Launcher, which if you just start that, it starts everything else. Of course, that gets rid of all your recorded history and your series records and everything else. So I was going to do that deletion, see if it worked, and then restore my backup. Because, as you may know, Media Center Backup 2.0, MCE Backup 2.0 will actually back up that file, and then you can restore it. It's one of the reasons why I wrote that application. So anyway, I thought before I restore everything, I'd give it a test. And I was amazed to discover that my Media Center PC was much quicker starting up Media Center, closing Media Center, especially where when I clicked on the close, it would kind of hang for 5 or 6 seconds. Moving around Media Center, everything just seemed a lot quicker. So I decided not to restore my backup, and I decided to reschedule my recordings manually. Now, I know it's a big job, and I had hundreds and hundreds of things that set there, but you know, there's probably about 6 or 7 programs that I really want scheduled recording, and the rest were kind of nice to haves and some series that have gone, and you know, say for example House, you know, it's been, the series is finished, it's coming on later in the year, I'll just reschedule it when it comes back on, because I've been very guilty of not cleaning up that, and you know, and that just builds up and builds up and builds up, and I tend to use the series record option quite a lot, even if it's a one-off, just in case it gets repeated and something else comes on and I think, oh, I might want to watch that again in the future. So anyway, everything's working on it now, there was no problems at all. Thanks to the green button for the fix on that, and HT Slider for reporting that one. A couple of news items. According to digitalspy.co.uk, Microsoft are talking to the BBC about bringing BBC content to Xbox Live. There wasn't a lot of details in the post, but it would be great to see video content coming down via Xbox Live, which I know US listeners are going to have that already, but in the UK we're sort of missing out on anything like that. And if the content is HD content from the BBC, then I think that's going to be a real interesting avenue, that an interesting new development for Xbox and the whole Microsoft platform. Because going over Freeview DVB-T, we can't get HD signal. We can't get HD content, and the Sky HD platform is the only way of getting that. So if Microsoft were to do a deal with the BBC to release some of the content directly through there, that would be interesting, and it's certainly something I would definitely want to use. So I'm looking forward to seeing that happen, and hopefully we'll have some more information on that in the future. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, that internet TV option, wouldn't it be great if we could get some BBC HD content straight down from Media Center in the UK? I don't see why they couldn't do that, with BBC looking to offer more of their content digitally anyway. Their Media Center is an actual place for that, rather than through sort of their own, I think iPlayer it's called, their own sort of web interface or, in, you know, 2-foot application. I wanted to catch up on a couple of forum threads, and P-Boy mentions an interesting feature request that he'd like to see on the music section of Media Center. And he said, when you're watching a single video file like a TV show, the skip button jumps 30 seconds. When you're watching a DV, by default, the skip button jumps chapters, but you can change it back to work like watching TV if you wish. When I listen to podcasts like this one, I wish I could do 30-second jumps when listening to the audio as well. The same goes for replays as well. I would like to be able to jump back and forth through the audio. So I wondered, does anybody know if this is possible? I must admit, most of the podcasts I listen to on my Trio in the car, so it's not something that I've ever really investigated. But I think it would be nice. Of course, you don't want to skip any parts of the Media Centre show, but I'm sure listening to other podcasts, there may be stuff that you wanted to skip or certainly go back to. So it'd be good to know if anybody's come across that functionality and whether there's a way of setting it up. I'll link to the post in the show notes, and it would be great to see anybody have some input on that. Now, a thread from Kojak71. Under Media Centre 2005, I relied on NVIDIA's Pure Video Decoder. Picture quality was fantastic, and since switching to Vista Ultimate 64-bit, I can't get Vista Media Center to use this decoder. Instead, it uses Microsoft's own decoder. Is there a way to get NVIDIA's Pure Video to work on 64-bit? Is there a Vista Media Center 64-bit compatible decoder out there? And is it me, or is the quality of Vista Media Center TV worse than Media Center 2005? It reminds me of Media Center prior to the Emerald update. That's an interesting one, that. First of all, I'd say I have not noticed a retrograde step with video quality going to Vista. Now, I'm on the 32-bit version, and I have no issues with video quality. In fact, I tamed my TV card, and it's working much better than it was previously. As regard the decoder chooser, I know Gary Whittaker has a tool set up to do to select your DVD decoder in Media Center, but I'm not sure it's 64-bit, and I'm pretty sure you'd have to get a 64-bit compatible decoder anyway if you wanted to not use Microsoft's one. So anybody got any thoughts on that one? I'm certainly happy with the built-in Microsoft one, and I guess that TV cards and standards and other things can affect it as well. And finally, I wanted to mention the Vista After Hours event that's going around, that Microsoft are doing around the UK in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to go to the Manchester event September 20th, a link in the show notes, and hopefully Microsoft will be giving away a copy of my book using Microsoft Windows Vista Media Center, and I believe they'll be showing off a lot of great Media Center software on there, as well as Windows Home Server and Xbox stuff and other things. They're in the evening. I think there's some food included as well. Check out the link in the show notes to find the nearest one to you. But if you certainly, if you're going to Manchester, please come and say hello. It would be great to meet you. So that's it for this week. Like I said, a lot of email and news items to get through. Back to the regular format with the interview next week. Please keep the email coming in. It's ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Don't forget the forums and check out the video and let me know what you think about the video and which format works for you. And I'll see you next week. Bye.